Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Graced of Co podcast. It's been such a long time since our last episode. Life has been lifing, guys. I don't even have any excuses to give. Clearly, things have been happening. Clearly, there's been so much going on. If I start to list them out, we will not live here today. But I would say the major reason why it took so long to put up another episode was because I didn't have a clear direction as to what next I was going to talk about. There are so many things I could have talked about. There are so many things I could have just recorded and posted, but I didn't just want to come up here and just speak. Basically, I wanted to share something that was in line with what God wanted me to talk about, and I will just say that I've not spent a lot of time with God asking, okay, what next am I supposed to do with Grace of Co? Because I've been spending time with God asking for what next for other things that are on my plate, if that makes sense. So today's episode, which is actually a podcast series, was inspired by a cartoon, guys, a cartoon. Because I believe that God knows our hearts, and because God knew that deep down in my heart, I really wanted to, I didn't like the fact that there was such long silence, and God knew that I had been, even though I had not, like, devoted a prayer time to say, okay, God, how far, what's up with Grace Up Co, what's the next thing I'm supposed to speak on, and things like that, God knew that deep down in my heart, I was making those prayers and I was asking those questions. And even though other things just seemed to come on top of Grace Up Co, it was still there. And I was watching the Bible cartoon with my daughter, and it was like Bible stories but in cartoon version. And after watching a couple of episodes of the show, it just dropped in my spirit that, because I was learning so much from the show, and I was like, wow. I was even, like, things I've not thought about reading those, listening to those Bible stories, were just coming into my head, like, to the point that I had to start writing them down, or just start, I started taking note of all those lessons I was learning, and I was sharing them on my WhatsApp status, because I share more there. I was sharing them there, and that's how it dropped in my spirit that you can actually make a series from these and go through the Old Testament stories, your favorite Old Testament stories, and share life lessons from them. And that's how this podcast series was born. So this is me officially welcome you to our first podcast series on Graced Up Co. And it's on life lessons from the Old Testament. The Old Testament is a part of the Bible that has so many controversies. Most people just tend to focus on the New Testament because we say, oh, we're New Testament believers. Jesus Christ has come to die and he has abolished the law or whatever. So we focus on the Gospels, we focus on the letters from Paul and other disciples, and we just reference the Old Testament. But I think that the New Testament is more applicable, if I would use that word. And the Old Testament just looks like, oh, just laws, and just this one begat that one, and that one begat that one. And so we just push the Old Testament to the side. But just after I watched that cartoon, it just made me realize how much applicable lessons are in the Old Testament. And God helping me, that's what we'll be doing in the month of July, the 5 weeks in July, 5 Fridays in July. by the grace of God, I would be posting an episode every week talking about life lessons that I am learning or I've learned that God is teaching me from the Old Testament. That's the long introduction. So we'll dive right in. Today's episode is titled Built to Last. Built to Last. And if I was supposed to say, can you guess what story we want to talk about? If you can guess, type it in. Yeah, we'll type it now. Go ahead, type it on Instagram. Go ahead, type it on Instagram. Don't cheat, oh. Don't listen to the end and now go ahead be typing on Instagram. No. Before you listen to the story, go ahead, type it on Instagram. Yeah. I'm talking about Instagram. Are you following us on Grace.co, at Grace.co on Instagram? If not, why? Tell me why. What's your reason? All right, back to today's episode. Built to Last. And today's episode is from Genesis chapter 6. Yeah, if you thought the Noah's Ark, you got that right. So we're going to be going through Genesis chapter 6, 7, and 8. We will not read all of them, but in your free time, you can read them. It would be nice if you read them. Or you can just be reading while we're going through this episode. So in Genesis chapter 6, we'll start in verse 1. So from verse 1 to 8, we're just talking about, then the people began to multiply on the earth. I'm reading from the NLT version. The people began to multiply on the earth. The daughters were born to them. The sons of God saw the beautiful women and took any they wanted as their wives. Then the Lord said, my spirit will not put up with humans for such a long time, for they are only mortal flesh. In the future, their normal lifespan will be no more than 120 years. Okay, I want to read from New King James Version, because it seems like I'm missing out some things. So I'll read that again. From verse 1, now it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the Son of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and he took wives for them of all whom they pleased, who they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came in to the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men that were of old, men of renown. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth. And he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and the birds of the air. For I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. All right. So from this 8 verses that I've read, we saw that there was a need. So there was evil on earth, yeah? There was sin. Sin was abundant. Everything was just going wrong. The heart of man was evil. His intent was evil. He was just doing whatever he pleased. And God was searching for somebody. There was a need. God was looking for someone that still reverenced him, someone who would listen and obey him. The world was filled with so much noise, so much sin. Man was doing whatever they pleased, disregarding God and his commandments, living life on their own terms, full of wickedness and abomination, to the point that the Son of God, now if you remember in verse, I think verse 2, said the Son of God, who some researchers believe are fallen angels. So let's assume that they were actually fallen angels. They were engaging in sexual relations with the daughters of the land. That's how bad things were. And then they gave birth to giants. God was tired. He even said, my spirit cannot continue striving with these people. I will just limit their years on earth to 120 years. And that's where life expectancy 101 started. God said, I cannot continue dealing with these human beings. So let me just limit the time I spend on earth. so that I will not continue dealing with them for so long. That was how bad things was. The wickedness going on earth was so much that it broke God's heart. And God felt sorry. He felt grieved that he ever made man. And honestly, I'm wondering if that's how God feels when he looks down at the world today, because the wickedness and the evil in these days, he do usually choke. It is too much, honestly. But things were so bad that it grieved God. He was like, why did I ever make man? Anyways, moving on. God then decided, I'm not going to do this again. This evil is too much. I'll wipe out these people and I'll start again. That sounds pretty harsh, coming from a loving God. But we know that God is a God of love and also a God of judgment. If you do anyhow, you go collect. In the midst of all these gasps, in verse 8, Noah found grace in God's sight. And that brings me to my very first lesson. So the first lesson I learned from this story is Noah found grace in God's sight. It's giving Lily in the Maya vibes. Like, in the midst of all the evil that they just described, one person found grace in God's sight. And from here, I just learned that it's truly possible to be the only light in a very dark world. Is it difficult? Yes, it's difficult. But it is very doable. Noah and his family are a beautiful example. In verse 9, it says that Noah was a righteous man and the only righteous person on earth. That sounds like such a bold statement, but it was a very true statement. It continues to say that he walked in a close relationship with God. He heard from God. He could recognize God's voice in the midst of the evil going on in the world. So God shared his plan with Noah, and that leads me to the second lesson. From verse 13 to 22, God gave Noah a very detailed instruction. So God went to Noah and said, guy, this is my plan. I want to wipe out the earth, and this is how I want to do it. And then God said to give Noah very detailed instruction. I want you to build me an ark. And one thing I noticed was that Noah did not even ask questions. Noah did not say, God, what are you talking about? You want to build me an ark? How? What is ark? I never hear him before. Noah did not ask any questions. God, from the Bible, it didn't show that Noah asked questions, because we know, like, other people in the Bible that maybe God spoke to or angels spoke to, and they asked questions. We know, like, Moses. We know, what's Sarah's husband's name? Is that Zechariah? Yeah. We know that these people ask questions. Even Mary asked questions. Mary, Jesus' mother. But from here, we did not get any, it's not written that Noah asked any questions. He was just saying, yes, sir, yes, Lord. Just taking in all the instructions that God was giving him. And God gave him detailed instruction from the type of wood to use, the dimension of the ark, the height, the width, to who should be in the ark. God was specific. I wanted male and female version of any animal or human being to be in the ark, because God wanted to continue the multiplication process of mankind, of the animals. He wanted reproduction to continue. So it was very important that a man and a woman should be in the ark. I'm very tempted to digress to something else, but let me stay here. Every single detail, even the part that looked scary, that looked audacious and seemingly impossible, because God was asking him to build a ship, basically. And no one had built a ship before. With the dimension and the durability of the ark, they would definitely need dozens of builders and experts to be involved. But God was telling Noah and his sons, there were just four of them, to do it. We're talking about a ship, almost like a cargo ship, because it's to be carrying the weight of thousands of animals in their pairs. We're talking about elephants, rhinoceros, lions. We know how much or how heavy those animals weigh, plus Noah and his family, and then the food and the materials that they needed to sustain them during their stay in the ark. The ark needed to be built to last. That's where the title of this episode came from. that ark needed to be built to last. And God gave Noah every single detail he needed to build an ark that would last. In today's world, we'll say something that is sustainable, something that would stand the test of time. I can so relate to this lesson for so many reasons. So let's try to do some unpacking and bring this home. God is always speaking. He's always giving us instructions every day. Sometimes instructions can be small. Sometimes they can be large. They can be ambitious, seemingly unrealistic, crazy instructions like the one God gave to Noah. If we read further, we'll see that people were laughing at Noah. They said he was crazy. They called him crazy. They said he was crazy to be building an ark and saying that a flood is coming. Flood, bow, what is flood? They called Noah a drunkard. They called him all manner of names. Does that sound familiar to you? Has God placed something in your heart? Has God given you an instruction that feels like a wild dream? Like, how can there be, like, it feels so strange. Like, how can these things be? People around you might be mocking you. People around you might be saying all sorts of things to you. Or they might even be tired of all your lofty goals and all your dreams. And they've left you and your dreams to yourself. You might also be familiar with words like, go and find something to do with your life. Go and get a job. Stop wasting your time. You can't achieve these goals that you're always making noise about. But you know deep down in your heart that God has called you to build something that would last. In your closet, God is steadily downloading these ideas, giving you detailed instructions. Your notepads are full with these instructions, but they look too big. How would I build an ark that would last in this crazy world? I don't have the resources. No one is taking me seriously. I probably sound like a broken record at this point. You are not alone, my dear. Noah was there and Noah did it and done it. How did they say it? I did it and done that. Noah did it. And there are people today that are doing it. And for me, I have some personal lessons that I've learned from my personal work with God, because I can completely relate to how God would just give you very audacious dreams and visions, and how God just keeps downloading instructions to you as to how to carry those things out. Even with the instructions, still things still look like, how is this possible? But I've learned some lessons in my personal work with God, as he constantly gives me jaw-breaking, seemingly impossible instructions, and I'm going to share them with you. The first lesson I've learned is you don't have to share those instructions with everybody. That's number one, and I'll say it again. You don't have to share those instructions, those dreams with everybody. You have to prayerfully choose your tribe. Now, your tribe are people who are not tired of listening to you, who are not tired of listening to your rant. You know those days when you just want to rant for like 30 minutes. You just want to call somebody and cry. The person that you would call and you would rant to, and they will listen to you and pray with you and will not take your matter and go and be broadcasting it on their status, that's your tribe. Those people who are not jealous of you and say, oh, is the only you God is speaking to? Your own is too much. Those ones are not your tribe. When you find your tribe, hold them close to your heart and treat them right. For Noah, his tribe was his family. Imagine you woke up one morning, and your dad says, oh, God spoke to me. He said that from today, we need to build an aeroplane that will carry raw materials from Africa to the ends of the world. That's a funny example, but just imagine. Imagine that you're still living with your parents, and one morning you guys woke up, maybe after your morning devotion, your dad just says, oh, God spoke to me. He said that we should build this thing. Like, this is the future of Africa. We should build it. Something that nobody has ever done before. You'd be like, which kind thing is this? But when Noah told his family, they believed him. His sons, their wives, Noah's wife, were his tribe. They stood by him. They believed him. They supported him. And I believe one reason why they stood by him was because they had seen the track record of God speaking to Noah. That was not the first time God was speaking to Noah. That was not the first time that God has told them, I will do something, and God did it. That's not the first time that God kept his promise. God already had a track. They had seen a track record of God speaking to Noah, of God providing for them, of God keeping his promise in their lives. So they knew that if God has asked Noah to build an ark at this time, he'll provide all they needed. If God said there was going to be a flood, there would definitely be a flood. So let me just quickly recap. You don't have to share those instructions and dreams with everybody. That's the first one. The second one is you have to choose your tribe. And you have to also remember the track record of God's promises and God's faithfulness in your life, because you will be tested. You'll be tested by yourself. You'll be tested by people. You'll be tested by circumstances. But if you can always remember that, God, you have a track record of keeping your word. If you have said it, it will happen. That will definitely keep you going. Another lesson I want to share from my experiences. Jehovah Jireh, God our provider, he would forever and ever be enough. If God gives you an assignment, best believe he'll provide every single thing you need to bring that assignment to fruition. The issue most times is that we entertain fear, doubt, and worry than we entertain our trust and faith in God. God has a track record of keeping his word. He's not about to change now on your matter. It's not possible. God honors his word more than his name. Has he said anything, it will come to pass in his own timing. Emphasis on in his own timing. Because that's another challenge that we have. We want it to happen now in our own time. But we need to understand that God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. And just like I shared in previous episode, if you've been following the Graced Up podcast, you would know that I've shared this a couple of times. The moment we submit to God and say, God, I'm your vessel and nothing more. I don't run this show. You are the one that runs this show. I'm just your errand girl. I'm just your errand girl in this business. I'm just your errand girl in this organization. In whatever thing that you have called me to do, I'm just your errand girl. Once you do that and submit to God and say, God, please take the stage, have your way, lead me, guide me, do things at your time. I'm submitted to you. Once you do that, you'll begin to experience ease. Even when it feels like nothing is working, you will still experience the peace of God. So let's quickly do a recap. The first lesson from Built to Last is there is a need. God is looking for someone. Even today, there is a need. There's so many things happening. I'm not even going to dive into the things that are happening. We are aware, like we read the news, there's so much happening. But even in this time, there is a need and God is looking. God is searching for someone. Just imagine that God was searching and Noah was not listening. God went to speak to Noah and say, okay, guy, how far? I need you to do this. And Noah was not listening. Noah was focused on, I beg, I need to provide for my family. I beg, I need to provide, I need to go to the farm. Please, I don't have any time. God would have gone to look for somebody else, because God will always look for, even if it's stone, God will look for stone and stone will come up and do what God wants them to do. So there is always a need and God is always looking for someone that would listen and obey him, someone that still reverence him. God is looking for a righteous man. And in your community, in your office, because of how things are bad, it might feel like you're the only righteous person. And you're saying, oh, should I compromise? Like everybody is doing it. Should I join them? No. God needs you to stay righteous. God needs you to stay upright, because he needs you in that mire. God needs you to still be the lily shining bright in the darkness. God needs your light to continue to shine bright in the darkness. There is darkness everywhere. There is a need for God's light to continue shining. And we are God's representatives here on earth. We need to continue shining our light bright. The second one is God giving instructions. God is always speaking to us. God is always giving us instructions. And again, in one of our previous episodes, I shared how in the past, God would give me A and I would run off and go and try to do B to Z by myself. No, that's not how God works. When God is giving instructions, he will give instructions from A to Z. Now, he might not give you at the same time. He might give you one today and give you the next one next month or even next year. But because we are sometimes impatient, when God gives us A, we want to go and look for B to Z by ourselves. We will now go and start jumping here and there, worrying, what will I do? No, we need to understand that God gives detailed instructions. He cannot give you one and leave you hanging. That's not who God is. And from this story, we can see God gives detailed instructions. Every single inch, the height of the ark, every single inch. Because God knew what he wanted Noah to build. That ark was going to carry that amount of people for a very long period of time. And I'm going to share how long they stayed in the ark. So God did not want an ark that would fall apart. God did not want Noah to build something that would fall apart. God needed Noah to build something that would last through the period. The ark is going to be in a flood. It was going to be in a flood that's stuck inside water. You know, wood and water they're not friends. Like, wood can start to become soft. But God asked Noah the specific kind of wood. I think the wood that God asked Noah was wood that was fresh, that still had this thing that comes out from the wood, this slimy thing that comes out of the wood. God said that was the wood that Noah should use. And now I'm thinking about it, there might have been a reason why God wanted Noah to use that kind of wet wood instead of, you know, normal wood that we see are already dried and all the slime has gone out. But the essence of what I'm saying here is God will give you detailed instruction about that thing, that business, about that project, about your career, whatever it is. God is giving you instructions, but are you listening and are you willing to obey? Because most times God's instructions come with sacrifice, but most times, again, we're not willing to sacrifice. We just want things to go easily on our own pace and things like that. But if we want to build things to last, just like Noah did, then we need to open our ears and our hearts to the instructions that God is giving us daily. And we need to be ready to obey those instructions. Now, the other lesson we learned from here is that you don't have to share those instructions with everybody. It's not everyone you just go and say, oh, God told me this, God told me that. You have to choose your tribe. If there's anything you take from here, take this one. Prayerfully choose your tribe. I have my tribe. People that know, like, as it's happening, I'm calling them and I'm crying. I have my tribe, and having those people have been a life changer in my life, like the best thing that God has given to me. So choose your tribe. Choose those people that you can trust, that you can share these God-given instructions to. People that will encourage you, people that will pray with you, people that will not be jealous of you or say, oh, your own is too much. Then the last lesson is that Jehovah Jireh, God our provider, he would always provide. God will never leave us hanging. He would always keep his word. Whatever he has said concerning your life, concerning your career, concerning your family, concerning your business, concerning that job or that tax or whatever God has said, if he has said a word, it will definitely come to pass. He would provide every single thing that you need to build that thing to last. So I'll wrap up this episode with this. In Genesis chapter 7 verse 6, it says Noah was 600 years when the rain started. Now when you read chapter 7, chapter 8, you will see the rain fell for 40 days. And then there was flood. The flood from the rain covered the earth for 150 days. So you're going to do the math. Rain fell for 40 days. The flood covered the earth for 150 days. In chapter 8, God sent a wind to dry out the flood. And then it took 2 months and a half later for... Two months and a half later, the water was still drying. The water had not finished drying. Then after 40 days, Noah released a raven to see if it would land on a dry land. Nothing, it didn't land on a dry land. After another 7 days, Noah sent a dove, and that one came back with an olive branch. That gave them some sort of hope. After another 7 days, another 2 months, Noah's, like, the summary of what I'm saying here is, guys, these people spent so much time in the ark. In chapter 8, verse 13, Noah was now 601 years. So they spent like a year in the ark. Have you been stuck in a place for 1 year? It's giving corona vibes. But throughout that period, Noah and family, I'm just wondering what kept them sane in that place. The ark was just like a zoo. What kept them sane in that place for that period, for like a year? Because when I calculated, it was close to 365 days. But I'm sure one thing that kept them there was God has said it. God will do it. God's word can be trusted. So even when you're in the will of God, it does not mean that everything is going to be rosy and everything is going to be going just fine. Like, there will still be challenges. But like I said, you need to keep the track record of God's promises. Like, don't forget. Don't forget the testimonies. Don't forget the things that God has done to you in the past. Because those are the things that would encourage you in the times where what is going on, when you don't understand what is happening, when things are just turning on your own, is those promises and those testimonies of what God has done. God's track record, that's what will keep you going. So you can't forget blessings of God. And I think that's the reason why God told Moses that the children of Israel should write those things down, write down the miracles, so that they could share it to their children and their children's children. So their children can see that this God that we are serving, he has a track record of keeping his word. Wow, what an episode. If you listen to this point, you are a real MVP. What should I give you now? Oh yeah, tell me, what should we do? What giveaway should we do for you now that you have listened to this point? Thank you guys so much. I really enjoyed sharing this with you guys. And I, even me myself, I learned so much. It's so refreshing when you read the Bible, when you study the Bible, and you just get a different understanding and you just see it in a completely different light. It's always so refreshing, and I'm so excited about the other episodes in this series. If you have any specific Bible story, Old Testament Bible story that you want me to talk about, you want us to share on, please go on Instagram and send us either a DM or write it in the comments. We want our Instagram to be more engaging. We want you guys to, because that's like the only way we can get feedback from you. So please do not hesitate to send a DM, to follow us, to comment on our posts. You know how Instagram is these days with algorithm and stuff. So we need the engagement. You can share our posts, you can comment and things like that, so that we can reach more people. Right? Thank you so, so, so much for joining me today. I hope that this episode has blessed you just like it has blessed me. And I cannot wait to see you in the next episode next week, Friday. Have a blessed weekend. Bye.